We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
It's not Jenna Ellis. It's E.W. Jackson. So, you know, and anytime I'm asked to do something like this, which is substitution for a female of the species, I remind everybody that, no, I am a male, and I have no confusion about that. Okay, so I'm not trying to be Jenna Ellis, folks. This is E.W. Jackson, but I am honored to sit in for her and happy to be asked. And look, I feel like this is a little bit of a reunion. It's been a while since I've hosted a program here on American Family Radio. Of course, I left last July to run for president of the United States and did that for about 6 months. And so this is the first time I'm coming back actually hosting. I'm just guest hosting, of course. And so many of you who see me speaking around the country and run into me say, wow, you know, I really miss you on AFR. Well, I'm back at least for a few moments with you today and tomorrow. So it's great. Now, some of you, of course, who listen in the morning may not. I know there are many of you who are listening to AFR all day long. Praise God for you. Some of you may be able to listen in the morning, but you're not. We're not able to listen in the afternoon when I was on at 12. I guess I was on 12. 1 o'clock Eastern time, I guess 12 noon Central, I think. I was in Brother Don's spot. So some of you, I may be actually new to some of you, but some of you undoubtedly are familiar with me because I was on for a number of years. And so I'm really glad to be back with you. I'm looking forward to having an interesting discussion today because, we always have plenty to talk about, don't we? And of course, you all know the call-in number. It's 888-589-8840. I'll be getting to calls a little bit later. And by the way, toward the end of the program, please stay tuned because toward the end of the program, I've got a special guest coming up. This is a kind of a last-minute thing getting him, but I think we're going to be able to get Congressman Bob Good, who is now the chairman of the Freedom Caucus, to come on and talk about the Merrick Garland refusing to respond to subpoenas from Congress. And then the Justice Department refusing the criminal referral when this Justice Department, on the other hand, is about to lock up Steve Bannon and, of course, has locked up Peter Navarro for just that very thing, for refusing subpoenas from Congress on the basis of executive privilege. They are going, Steve Bannon is going to jail, and Peter Navarro is in jail, but apparently Merrick Garland will not be. So that brings me to the first topic I want to put on the table, and I want to get your input and feedback on this when I finally open the calls. It'll probably be in the next segment. Do you trust our criminal justice system? Do you trust it anymore? I'll share with you my thoughts, but let's just look at the facts. The criminal justice system has been unleashed against President Donald Trump in an unprecedented way. I've never seen anything like this. I mean, it seems that the Democrat Party has decided that they are going all out to turn us into some kind of third world banana republic. And when you cannot defeat someone at the ballot box, or you're afraid that you might not be able to defeat him at the ballot box. Of course, I think they're going to try to cheat to make sure that they do. You unleash the legal system against him, and you try to destroy him by overwhelming him with with lawsuits and criminal prosecutions and so forth. And we've never seen anything like this in the history of our country. I mean, Donald Trump is making history in more ways than one. And of course, we know now Donald Trump is actually a convicted felon. You know, just saying that, folks, saying that literally stuns me. Donald Trump is a convicted felon. It is preposterous. It's beyond the pale. But that's where we are. A former president is a convicted felon, potentially looking at jail time. What? You know, I say we say these things when we come on to talk to you, and sometimes I catch myself saying them, and you know, there's a part of me that wants to say, that can't be true. You're exaggerating. That simply cannot be true. But that's the reality that we live in today. Now, of course, Hunter Biden has just been convicted as well. And I really believe this, folks, and I'd be curious to know what you think about this. I really believe that that Hunter Biden is a sacrificial lamb. I really do. I think that the powers that be on the left have decided, let's throw Hunter Biden under the bus rather than protecting him, which is what they had been doing, so that way we can justify going after Donald Trump. You know, that gives us some cover. I think that's the only reason why Hunter Biden is facing any potential trouble. And I think he's going to be getting, he'll get out of it eventually anyway. But I think this is election cover. See, we're even willing to prosecute Hunter Biden. But I don't think that it's about fairness or honesty or integrity of the criminal justice system. I think this is about political gamesmanship, because I think were it not for this election, I think Hunter Biden wouldn't be convicted and wouldn't be getting anywhere near a sentencing that could find him in prison. Of course, he has Secret Service protection and he's got the President of the United States advocating for him. I think at worst, he'll probably end up in some kind of house arrest, because they'll say, you know, for the sake of national security, since he is a son of the president, we can't put his life at risk. And the fact that the Secret Service has to protect him means that we have to make some special accommodations. Interesting. Huh? So Merrick Garland gets a free pass for defying congressional subpoenas, but Peter Navarro goes to jail. Steve Bannon is scheduled to report to prison on July 1. And I think Steve Bannon's got 4 months in federal prison, and I don't know how much time Peter Navarro has gotten. I think it's somewhere around the same thing, but nevertheless, it's enough to know that not for robbing somebody, not for cheating, defrauding someone, not for hurting someone, but for simply refusing to divulge what they consider to be privileged communications between themselves and the former president of the United States, they are being put in prison. And they like to do the same thing with Donald Trump. We know that. Now, these are just some of the facts. Let me give this little additional overlay, okay? Donald Trump was in Detroit, I think it was yesterday, was in Detroit and apparently spent a great deal of time meeting with and talking to members of the black community. And one of the topics that came up, of course, was the 1994 criminal justice law that punished crack cocaine very severely. Now, to be fair, and I know that Donald Trump is basically denouncing that and saying, you know, that that Joe Biden was in the forefront of that and, you know, referring to black people, black criminals as super predators. Well, the fact of the matter, some of them are. But leaving that aside, and criticizing him for that. But to be fair, I lived through that era, folks, and I ministered in Boston during that time. And it was horrendous. It was horrendous. In fact, just to show you how real it got for me as a pastor, I was called in the middle of the night to go to the police station to meet one of my church members who had been raped by a crackhead. The person had climbed through the window looking for money, found the woman living there alone, raped her, robbed her, and I was at the police station with one of my church members sort of trying to console her and walk her through the process and be there as a support for her. So, I mean, that's how real it got. I mean, it wasn't, you know, I had a shootout happen in the parking lot of our church up in Boston. I'm not exaggerating. Sunday morning service. This gangbanger, crackhead, whatever he was, he ends up trying to escape the police. They engage in a high-speed chase. He drives into the parking lot of our church, and they have a shootout in the parking lot of our church. Now, we were in church service listening to the guns go off, and, of course, at that point, trying to shelter ourselves. This is how real this stuff got. This was no joke. There was one church, there was a shootout that happened in the church because two people were fighting it out. One of them ran into the church during a funeral, and they had a shootout inside the church during a funeral. Now, I knew the pastor, knew the church. I was there in Boston when it happened. So I'm not giving you statistics I read and stories I read. This is stuff that I lived and watched unfolding. I mean, it was horrendous. It was horrendous. And so this effort, I think this well-intentioned effort to try to rein in the violence was being demanded by members of the Black community who were saying, you can't live like this. This is untenable. Well, of course, what happened was that the treatment of crack cocaine versus powdered cocaine was then later morphed into a racial issue where, oh, okay, well, you know, the punishment of crack cocaine with harsher penalties than powder cocaine means harsher punishments for Black people who are primarily the customers of crack cocaine, whereas white people are the customers of powdered cocaine. At least now that's, I'm not saying that that's necessarily true, but that's the way it was framed, okay? And then suddenly something that was intended to try to make the Black community safer ended up as some kind of racial conspiracy to get Black folks, okay? So just to be fair, to just give you the full picture here, nevertheless, and by the way, my viewpoint was that powdered cocaine and crack cocaine should have been punished at the same level because both of them are addictive and both of them produce aggressive behavior. So as far as I'm concerned, one's just cheaper than another, and I guess you can consume it faster than another, but they're both addictive. They both produce very, very dangerous behavior in some people. And so, you know, why different sentences and different punishments depending on which drug you're using? Well, some of that grew out of the politics of the Black community where people were being, as I've just explained, raped and robbed and terrorized because the people who were on this stuff were willing to practically do anything to get the next hit. Well, but look, you get addicted to cocaine, apparently, same deal. To powder cocaine is the same deal. So that's the context. That's the background. But now, of course, this has been racialized, and the Democrats are running from it like scared rabbits. We're sorry. we apologize. You know, they don't try to make the case. They say, oh, we apologize that we got caught in that racist trap. Well, you know, now, of course, along comes Donald Trump. And folks, who would have thought it? Who would have thought it that a billionaire, there's some ironies in the ascension of Donald Trump. There's some major ironies in the ascension of Donald Trump. You know, the primary we know is over. Donald Trump has won the nomination. I just want to give a bit of a spiritual assessment of what's happened here. Billionaire, so Donald Trump, and by the way, Donald Trump he came from wealth. I mean, his father wasn't as wealthy as he is, but his father was not a poor man by any stretch of the imagination. He was a major landlord in New York. So Donald Trump came up in wealth and now a billionaire. In fact, he's a billionaire apparently twice over now that he's, they've done an IP with Truth Social. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll come back and we'll talk about Donald Trump and his position in this whole debate over the criminal justice system. 888-589-8840 is the number. This is E.W. Jackson in for Jenna Ellis. We'll be back in just a moment.
Danny, the baby just rolled over for the first time. Oh, what a strong little boy.
That a boy, son. You're on your way.
Oh, who's my strong little man?
Rollovers can be milestones in life, some early on and some later. One rollover you might consider is from your individual retirement account to a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. If you'd like to increase your retirement income and leave an impactful gift to the work of American Family Association, the charitable gift annuity is a worthwhile option. To learn more, contact the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or email foundation@afa.net. If you own an IRA, would like to increase your charitable giving, but need retirement income, the IRA to CGA rollover may be for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Do you trust the criminal justice system? Because I think that what the Democrat Party is doing is eroding Americans' confidence in the criminal justice system. Do you trust it? Well, we get to the calls. I want to hear what you think about this. But let me get back to this. Who would have thought that a billionaire would have appeal to people who believe that the criminal justice system is in some way geared against them? Who would have thought that a billionaire like Donald Trump would be appealing to black voters saying, you know, I'm kind of like you. They don't like me, so they want to put me in jail. Now, of course, we know it's much more complicated than that. But I want to just get to the point that here Donald Trump is in Detroit relating to people on the basis of being mistreated by the criminal justice system. And by the way, just again to underscore how bad this was when they were trying to craft these laws, you had a double whammy because you had the crackheads who were willing to commit any crime in order to get money to do more crack, and then you had the gangs fighting over turf and hurting each other and killing each other. And so you had murders happening pretty much every single day. Now, this was just in the city of Boston, which is where I was, but it was happening all over the country. In comes Donald Trump. Oh, and by the way, you know, this just an interesting anecdote. I did a speech at Old Dominion University. It was a meeting put on by the NAACP, the Black Student Union, and the Dominion University Republican Club. They got together and put on an event for me to speak, and so I went to the event. Actually, I think they had the head of the NAACP there to basically kind of refute what I had to say, and he was ended up agreeing with pretty much with what I had to say. But one of the kids at the university stood up and made this point. He says to me, how can a black man make it in America when a white guy gets caught with powdered cocaine and gets a slap on the wrist, and a black guy gets caught with crack cocaine and he gets several years in prison? Now, probably an exaggeration, but nevertheless, that was the question that he asked. I said to him, well, have you ever considered using no cocaine, not touching it, powdered or crack? And folks, I am not kidding you. He looked at me and said, I hadn't thought about that. just as a footnote, there's nothing wrong with demanding justice. There's nothing wrong with wanting our system to be fair. Every single one of us wants that. But, you know, we have gotten to a point where the Marxist thinking has so invaded our culture where we think that everything is about the system. No, there's a lot of things are about personal integrity. A lot of things are about personal behavior and responsibility and choices that we make. I was making the point with him, I don't have any danger of getting put in jail for using crack cocaine versus powder cocaine, because I don't use any of it. I mean, how about that? At the very least, let's add that to the equation, because then you don't get caught up in the system at all. But okay, that aside, here we have Donald Trump appealing to black voters because, you know, we heard 50 Cent, not a fan, say, they said, why do you think black men are gravitating toward Donald Trump? because they've got RICO cases. Well, again, most of us don't have RICO cases, 50 Cent, but enough do. Gangs are fairly prevalent in the inner city. And so the attempt to dismantle gangs with RICO cases is something that a lot of the folks in the streets and their families can relate to. And to associate that with now Donald Trump, what I want to get to real ultimately is, folks, look, I ran for president myself, and I ran for president because I thought that I had some things to bring to the public square that Donald Trump would not bring. But I also said to people, look, everybody's a long shot except Donald Trump. And if you're running because you think you're going to overthrow Donald Trump, then, you know, the best shot people had at that was Ron DeSantis. And of course, even with $100 million, he could not do it. I said, so if that's why you're running, then you're wasting your time. And that's not why I was running. I wasn't running because I was against Donald Trump. I was running because I wanted to bring God into the center of the public square and say, what America needs most is a return to God. What America needs most is an awakening. What America needs most is a restoration of biblical principle in our culture. But look, here Donald Trump is. Everything they do to him ends up redounding to his benefit. I really believe that's just the hand of God just working in the man's behalf. I'm serious. You know, you prosecute him, his supporters become more committed. You convict him, not only his supporters, but you've got black voters who normally and historically for the last generation have voted Democrat saying, you know what, we can relate to Donald Trump. I mean, it's an amazing thing to watch unfolding. It really is. And frankly, I think at this point, our culture is so far gone that Donald Trump's the best hope we have right now, at least. Other than an awakening, which I'm believing God for, and I'm believing is we're already seeing the seeds of it, is the best hope we have of preventing the complete dismantling of this country as we know it. And folks, I don't say that lightly, and I don't say that to try to be dramatic. I just really believe that's the case. And so here we are with Donald Trump appealing to black voters. And here's what the Democrat Party knows. That if he wins a significant black vote, if he causes an historic shift in black voting, and folks, 15, 20, 25, 30% of black voters vote for Donald Trump, that is a poison pill for the Democrat Party. That is a dagger in the heart of their machine. They cannot survive that. If this is a major shift that we're seeing, that we're witnessing right now, if that happens, the Democrat Party is done in nationwide elections. They cannot win nationwide elections. They cannot win the presidency. And in many states, they cannot win U.S. Senate seats or governorships without overwhelming black support. And when I say overwhelming, I mean 90 to 95%. That's what they need. Because most Americans, I think a plurality at the very least, and in many places, a majority of Americans are not with them because they've become crazy. So here's Donald Trump appealing to voters as a billionaire on the basis of being mistreated by the criminal justice system. It's an amazing thing. Well, look, the other thing I want to bring up, and then I want to open the phone lines. Oh, and by the way, Hunter Biden, of course, you all know, before this trial, they had a sweetheart deal all done up for him where he wasn't going to face anything. I mean, anything. They had a nice little package deal all sewed up for Hunter Biden to just say, go home, young man, and enjoy yourself. And apparently black voters are looking at that saying, I didn't get any sweetheart deal. My brother, my cousin, didn't get any sweetheart deal. So the thing that they've done to try to destroy Donald Trump is redounding instead to his great benefit. And this may be an historic moment that we are witnessing. We shall see. Because, of course, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Let's see what happens on and after Tuesday, November, whatever that date is, when the votes are counted. And that brings me to the next issue. Do you trust the voting system? Do you trust the voting system? See, I really believe we're in the middle of a cultural revolution. The left and the Democrat Party are really trying to fundamentally alter the nature of this country. And these two institutions, they're trying to get control of and corrupt. One is the criminal justice system so they can use it to punish their political enemies. And the other is the voting system so they can cheat their way to victories. Yeah, I said it, and it's the truth. That's why they don't want voter ID. That's why they want universal mail-in ballots. That's why they want ballot harvesting, because they want to be able to cheat their way to victory. And it's not a stretch to say that, because look, the Democrat Party as a whole has rejected all biblical Judeo-Christian morality and principles. They have rejected them all on every level. Stealing is not a sin. It's not wrong from their perspective, because when it's an act of the oppressed, of course, you have to accept it. And who says all this property should be owned by these people anyway? I mean, that's their mindset. Lying? What difference does it make as long as you get the results you're looking for? That's the communist principle, right? By any means necessary. I mean, you've got pencil neck. You all know who I'm talking about. It'll come to me. But standing up on the floor of the Congress, I've got evidence of Donald Trump's collusion with Russia. Flat out bull face lie. Did he ever apologize? Did he ever say, oh, well, gee, I had bad information. I had wrong information. I thought that I had that. No, just flat out lie and didn't even blink when it was clear that it was a lie. He had no such evidence because no such evidence existed. And you could go on. Former House Majority Leader did the same thing. Said that, this was during Mitt Romney's candidacy, said that Mitt Romney hadn't paid taxes in 10 years. Flat out lie. I mean, just bold-faced lying. I'm no fan of Mitt Romney. Ever apologize? Ever say, gee, I made a mistake. I thought I had good information. Nope. Nope. Because they don't care. It doesn't matter to them. Adam Schiff is who I'm thinking of. Adam Schiff. It doesn't matter to them. Because there is no morality. There is no right or wrong. The only thing that matters is getting what you want. It's about power. It's about money. It's about control. And if you have to lie your way to that, to cheat your way to that, to steal your way to that. And I take great umbrage at the fact that Joe Biden told the FBI when they went to raid Mar-a-Lago that they were allowed to use deadly force. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're going to the home of a former president who is guarded by Secret Service, who's done no violence to anybody. You're going to collect documents that he has, whether he's entitled to them or not. He has them. They're guarded by the Secret Service. They're locked up. And you send in the FBI and you tell them that they are authorized to use deadly force. What are you hoping, that they'll kill the man? Well, by any means necessary. So cheating on an election, committing fraud, using crooked, nefarious ballot counting machines, manipulating the process. You think that's beneath them? Do you trust the voting system? Because this election coming up, based upon everything we know now, of course, again, this is still only June, and we've got, 5 months before the election? And a lot can happen in 5 months. But based on what we now know, Donald Trump is headed for an historic victory. If we can have an election of integrity. Can we? That's the question. Can we? And I think ultimately the onus for this is upon us as American citizens. The Constitution doesn't begin with we the politicians or we the pundits or we the talk show hosts. It begins with we the people. We the people. It's going to be up to us to be diligent and vigilant and active and engaged and watchful to make sure that they cannot cheat, or if they try, it's very, very, very hard. I shouldn't say if they try, when they try, because I don't think there's any doubt that they're going to try. That it will be very, very, very hard to do so without scrutiny. We've got to pray about this election as well as being politically engaged, because we know, of course, that all of the forces of the culture, by that I mean the colleges and university systems, the mainstream media, much of the apparatus that is engaged in the counting, a lot of that is under the control of these leftists. So, you know, they're not going to police themselves, and integrity is not something that they even believe in. They believe in results, not integrity. All right, folks, the number is 888-589-8840. Do you believe in the criminal justice system? Do you believe in the voting system? Can we recover these things? We'll be back in a moment. I want to hear what you have to say about it.
June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe v. Wade, but did you know that the number of abortions actually increased in the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis. Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside of them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right. Well, listen, you all have been very patient allowing me to do this, and I'm back in the saddle, so to speak, at least for a couple of days, and I'm enjoying it. Let's get right to your calls. Let's go to Rebecca from Arkansas. Rebecca, welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hello.
So what do you think? Yes, Rebecca, I can hear you. Rebecca?
Yes. Hello.
Yes, go right ahead, Rebecca. What's on your mind today? Do you trust our criminal justice system, our voting system?
No and no. And, wow. And thank you. Thank you, and thank AFA. Great to hear your voice.
Well, thank you, Rebecca. God bless you. Okay, but the pretty straightforward answers there. Thank you, Rebecca. Okay, let's go to Haywood in Mississippi. Haywood, welcome.
Yes, good to hear you back on air, brother.
Thank you, Haywood. Good to be back.
Okay. American people need to understand this is not just about America. This is a worldwide socialist movement to dismantle the system worldwide. And if America falls, the rest of the world will come under the Marxist, communist way of life. We don't want that in America. And one way to do that, by all means, number one, pray. Number two, volunteer at your local voting precinct. And if you see something going on that's not right, let them know. But this is a spiritual battle. And American people will not, I don't believe we'll stand for a Marxist, communist government, because you can't trust it. If they get Donald Trump and all the leaders, they will come after us as a population. And I'll go back off there. Thank you.
Amen. Haywood, I can't disagree with a single thing you said. I think you are absolutely right. Communism was always designed to be a worldwide movement. Communist China's goal is to dominate the entire world. You are absolutely right. All this globalism, all this stuff that's happening with the World Economic Forum and all these people, George Soros, these folks have a plan for the entire globe, and they see America as the keystone. They've got to get America in order to get the rest of the world. And as far as you're concerned and I'm concerned, they're not getting America. Let's go to Mike in West Virginia. Mike, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. Welcome back to the airwaves.
Thank you, Mike. I recognize your voice.
Someday I'd like to sit down and have a long talk with you about a whole bunch of stuff, but
okay.
Anyway, right now I think with God's help we can fix everything. We got to clean up the churches too. I think there's good. There's still good people in the criminal justice system, but I think there's also some that need some shoes shined on their trousers.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Mike, thank you so much for the call. I agree with you. I think there's still good people working in government, frankly, but they're working in a system that is so corrupt that it's very, very difficult for them to make any headway. And that's why a president like Donald Trump, if he goes in there now understanding you've got to tackle the deep state, because if you don't, they'll eat you alive. And I think he understands that now. And I think if he goes in there with that mindset, I think he can root out some of these evil factions that are now trying to even, they don't care who the president is. They're going to do what they want to do. And he's got to make clear, no, that's not our constitutional system, and you're not going to behave that way. And if you do, we're going to get you out no matter what it takes. Well, we could have a long talk about getting rid of people in the federal government, which is not an easy thing, unfortunately, but it ought to be. Let's go to Lynn in Arkansas. Lynn, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Hi,
and
Lynn.
Yeah, as far as the criminal justice system goes, before anything happened with Donald Trump, with the lawfare, they were installing a lot of cameras in our area on the roads and stuff. And I thought to myself, because of the injustices that were being done to conservatives, I thought, I wonder if the people who break the law and the cameras catch them, if that's going to be just, you know? And we have a liberal local government too. Mm-hmm. But I also have a question about the Dominion voting system, and I got caught off guard the other night. I had actually called a relative of a neighbor to check on the neighbor's status. She's 100. And the daughter, basically, somehow we got in a political discussion. She called me later in the day, and I had been asleep. I was asleep when she called, so I really wasn't prepared, but she was talking about how she was going to vote for Biden. She was a teacher in a Christian school, but anyway,
what?
And that Trump was a convicted felon, and I tried to explain some of the stuff to her about that. And then she brought up the Dominion thing. And then how come Fox lost the lawsuit with Dominion? And I think I knew more about that at the time, but I've forgotten why that happened.
Okay. All right. Well, Lynn, thank you so much for the call. Look, Fox lost the lawsuit with Dominion because Dominion is a private company. Fox said things that they could not justify according to the court system, again, which we now admit is corrupt. And so they lost the lawsuit because you can't say things against not only a person, but a corporate entity that are demonstrably false, because that's called libel if it's written, and slander if it's said. And if you do that, then you have to pay a price for that to try to make that person whole. But look, that doesn't mean that we should trust these computerized voting systems. I believe we ought to go back to paper ballots and count the ballots. You can use the machines to count them, but we need paper ballots so that we have a paper trail, period. And we don't have to even get into discussion about, well, is Dominion corrupt or not? Get rid of Dominion and let's go back to straight paper ballots. And by the way, I know people are saying we need to vote early, and I agree. If that's the system, you got to take advantage of it. But I think we ought to have one vote on Election Day. All right, let's go to Frank in Kentucky. Frank, welcome.
Hi, brother. It's good to hear you back on the radio again. I wish you would come there and just stay there.
That's kind of you, Frank. Thank you.
Yeah. But I just wanted to say that last time President Trump was president of this country, he kept his promises, and people seem to forget that. He didn't do anything he just kept us all of his promises. And I'm asking everybody to pray for him because he really needs all the prayer he can get.
Yes, indeed he does. Indeed he does. Because, look, I believe that he is, in many ways, he is the ultimate bulwark. Maybe I shouldn't say ultimate. God is the ultimate. But he is at the moment the primary bulwark that we have against what the left has planned for this country. And that's why they hate him so much. They don't hate the man because he wants to be a dictator. They know better than that. I mean, he was president already. Did he become a dictator when he was president before? This stuff is just silly. They hate him because they know he's in the way of their plans for this country. That's why they hate him. And you're right. We've got to pray for him. Okay, let's take another call. Let's go to, excuse me, Dennis in Mississippi. Dennis, welcome. Okay, sorry about that. Let's go to, Bob Good is ready. Well, you know what, folks? We've got Representative Bob Good from the 5th District of Virginia. Let's bring him on. Are you there, Congressman Good?
Good morning. Good morning, Bishop Jackson. Thanks for having me, my friend.
Good morning, sir. It's great to have you on. Thanks for responding so quickly. But I just thought we've got some things in the news that you are the perfect person to answer. And first of all, you know, acknowledge you are the chairman of the Freedom Caucus. And I do want to get into that in a few moments that we've got. But look, I commented early in the program about the fact that we got Peter Navarro in jail. Steve Bannon is about to go to jail for contempt of Congress because they refused to answer subpoenas and refused to respond to congressional inquiries on the basis of executive privilege. Merrick Garland does the same thing, but apparently he gets a pass, even though Congress has now referred to the Justice Department. They're not going to do anything about it. And I ask people, do they trust the criminal justice system? How is Congress responding to this?
Well, you're making a great point there, Bishop Jackson. The very person who's perpetrating these injustices, this weaponization of the federal law enforcement and the federal Department of Injustice and the two-tier justice system, the way we're treating people differently based on their political persuasion. The very person at the top of that heap, other than Joe Biden, is the very Merrick Garland who's doing it. And yet he thinks he is exempt from the very standards that he is applying to others or the consequences that he's bringing to others. He doesn't believe that his department is accountable to the people's representative, to our constitutional responsibility to exercise oversight. And so he has held himself exempt from that. And it just goes to show and to demonstrate what great consequence comes from those who are willing to abuse the power of their office, to use it for political purposes in the manner that he has done. And so I'm thankful that the House did vote to hold him in contempt. Unfortunately, as we know, it goes to him to act on that, and he has no integrity. He has no intention of acting on that upon himself. But I tell you what, Bishop Jackson, Lord willing, we're going to have a new Senate, we're going to have a new White House, and a new administration, a new Department of Justice headed by a new Attorney General, and we must not let these consequences this abuse of power go unchecked in the new administration. I think President Trump will be right in wanting to hold those folks accountable, whether it's Dr. Fauci, whether it is Secretary Mayorkas, whether it is Merrick Garland.
You know, I am so glad that you've become chairman of the Freedom Caucus, because for a long time I've considered the Freedom Caucus to be the conscience of the Congress, really holding us to constitutional principles and to true conservative ideals. What's you're in an election right now? This is an election year. When, assuming you come back after November, what are the plans? How's the Freedom Caucus going to lead forward? Where are we going from here to try to clear up some of these major problems, like people's lack of confidence at this point in the criminal justice system, for one?
Well, the Freedom Caucus has largely changed the trajectory of the Republican Conference to where we are at least fighting over the right things, and we are at least having votes on the right things, and we're at least battling on, you know, how much spending to cut. We're at least battling on how to secure the border. We're battling on how to hold folks accountable for their violation of our constitutional freedoms and liberties that are enshrined in our founding documents. And it's the Freedom Caucus that will continue to lead the way with fight alongside President Trump in January, as the Freedom Caucus did in his first term before I got to Washington. We'll be the ones helping him to actually do everything that's necessary to secure the border and to return and deport the illegals who are here in this country unlawfully. We'll be the ones who are fighting to give him the ability to fund the government next year, starting in January, by not allowing a funding of the government to October of next year, which the uniparty will try to do. Bishop Jackson, mark it down. The uniparty will try this summer to fund the government for a year. They'll say they're doing it in the name of helping President Trump to take it off his plate, but what they really want to do is allow the outgoing Democrats in the Senate and the White House to have influence over how the government's funded for another year till October 1. We're going to fight to make sure that we have the opportunity to do that in a new Congress with a new White House in the first year. So cutting spending is critical. And then also, of course, protecting our constitutional freedoms the way they've been trampled on that we've never seen before in modern history in the last 3.5 years of this administration.
Well, look, today I'm substituting for Jenna Ellis. This is her program. And, of course, I'm on AFR. AFR is a nonprofit. AFR does not endorse candidates. And I can't speak for Jenna Ellis, but as I want the public to know, I've endorsed you personally. You have an election tomorrow, and it is my hope that every single person in the 5th District will get out there and vote to make sure that you remain in Congress and that you get to continue to chair the Freedom Caucus and help lead this Congress to get us out of this mess that we are in. So tomorrow's election day. How's it looking?
Well, we trust the people of the 5th District. This election is about much more than me and my opponent. This election, is, as you framed it, is about the Freedom Caucus versus the D.C. swamp that is trying to strike back, that's trying to punish me for trying to change the status quo, for being willing to fight against the harm being done to the country, for our Freedom Caucus's unwillingness to fund the border invasion, to fund the policies we campaign against, to fund the abuse of power of this weaponized Department of Injustice and FBI. And so will the people of the 5th District keep this seat in their hands for someone who fights for them, or will they allow it to be bought by the D.C., California swamp money that's trying to make an example of me? I trust the people of the 5th District, and I think they're going to give me a 2-year contract extension.
The entire country owes you a debt of gratitude, because you and a handful of others had the courage to get rid of Kevin McCarthy because, in my way, in my view, he was obstructing a real conservative agenda. And I know that you all, as I said earlier, will be the conscience of the Congress. And so we look forward to continued service from you and some of those other stalwart members who stood with you and others to make sure that the Congress was accountable. Congressman Bob Good, 5th Congressional District of Virginia, thank you so much for taking time to join us. God bless you. We're praying for you. Folks, thank you so much. I'll be back with you again tomorrow here on Jenna Ellis's program, so be sure to tune in. In the meantime, remember, stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.